leave at 6. And so Sam will be leading that. That's on Tuesday. Thank you, Rob, for filling in on short notice. Appreciate it.
You haven't heard me preach yet. You have? Yes. Yeah, you might want to wait till after I'm done preaching to praise the Lord that I stepped in. Bill and Lanny send their love, and he gave me a jingle. He told me midweek, he says, hey, I think I'm coming down with the crud. And he told me, he says, you might want to have a plan B. And so, let's see, Friday night, I got the call. Yes. Rob, you need to have plan B in mind. So let me be the first to wish first. No, I wouldn't be the first. This is mid-month already. How is that possible? How is that possible? I still have to, when I sign a document or I don't do many checks anymore, but the date, you know, 2026, I have to painfully slow down and go, okay, what, not 25, okay, it's 26, got it. I think what I probably need to, knowing my abilities or the lack thereof, probably what I need to do is right now, 2 weeks into 2026, practice doing 2027, and then I'll be ahead of the game, or I'll be right on the game at that point. Anybody with me on that one? Yes, okay, very good. So Happy New Year to each one of you. It's good to see you. I looked at my records and it's been 3 months since I've had the privilege to preach to you guys. I know I showed up here a month ago or something when Jacob Olson preached, and of course Cindy and I love Jacob and we wanted to hear him preach in a church pulpit. So anyway, it's going to be fun and exciting to see what God has for Jacob Olson. I've talked to him about considering being an in-faith missionary down the road. There's another one of our camp boys that also, even here like a week ago, I sat down, had coffee, tea in my case, with him and says, hey, how about considering being an in-faith missionary sometime? And you probably remember Jacob, he's heading off to seminary here in, next fall, I think, is when Jacob is heading down to go to seminary. So it'll be exciting to see how the Lord opens and closes all those doors. The other young man is Stephen. And so I told Stephen, I says, hey, Stephen, do you think that God has gifted you to preach? So maybe someday I can hornswaggle Stephen. And some of the camp kids know Stephen. Stephen Johnson. And it's been a couple years since he's been at camp, but Stephen Johnson, he serves in a ministry, His Feet. Little Feet, yeah, with orphan kids from India, and they travel the nation. So he's in Colorado Springs as we speak here at the moment. So we'll be excited to see how the Lord works with that. And I do hope that your new year is going well for you. Any, faced any challenges already? Sigh over here. Yes, Maggie sighed. Yes, always challenges. And thankfully we have a Heavenly Father that walks with us on all these experiences in life. What I want to do this morning, and I'll pray here in a moment, what I want to do is tag on to, so this is my sermon from 3 months ago, part two, okay, part two. And this is an area in my life that the Lord has been growing me, convicting me, and I praise the Lord that the Lord is helping me through this. But the title of my sermon, and I don't expect you to remember 3 months ago what the title of my sermon, but the title of my sermon is this, Amazing Love. The amazing love of Jesus. Does Jesus love us? Of course he loves us. Our Heavenly Father loves us. God the Holy Spirit loves us, etc. do we recognize that Jesus loves each one of you? Do we sing about it, and it's important to be singing about that, but do we truly recognize, not just up here, you know, in the thinker, but also down here in the heart, that yes, Jesus loves little bitty old me. Little bitty old me. Yeah, let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for this time. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, would you work in the hearts, all of our hearts here, Lord. Prepare the soil to hear your word. I ask you for that, Lord. Heavenly Father, you are lovable. And Heavenly Father, so many times in life, that theology of you, that you love us, is attacked. And we go, well, what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? Lord, why would you allow that to happen to me? I'm your child, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, help us to recognize the truth that you love each and every one of us. And the depth of your love for each one of us. So, Lord, would you please grow us in that today? So I pray, Lord, prepare the soil of all of our hearts to hear. Lord, prepare me to share your word. Help me not to get in the way. Help me just to step aside. Lord, please use me. Lord, please use me. I don't feel very usable, but Lord, I ask you, would you please use me, Heavenly Father? And Lord, as a result of this, help us to fall that much more deeper in love with you, Lord, recognizing genuinely yet another depth of your love for each one of us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we know this, you're lovable. And we pray for this now, Lord. Help us in your son's sweet name, amen. Where I'll be is in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 25 through 27. And this also would make a great Good Friday service. I think Easter comes early this year. I think it's like the 1st of April or somewhere in that first week of April. So if my memory serves me correct, so this would make also an excellent Good Friday sermon as we deal here with Jesus on the cross. And again, let me give you the title of my sermon, Amazing Love. Amazing Love. And the concept is this, an attempt to comprehend the incomprehensible love of Jesus. Do each one of us have a genuine, confident sense, knowledge, and heart experience that Jesus loves even little bitty old you? Do you know that? Do you know that? Excellent question. It's important. It's important for our spiritual health to have that. So again, an attempt to comprehend the incomprehensible love of Jesus. One of the statements I gave 3 months ago was this: I have given Christ countless reasons not to love me. None of them has changed his mind. I'll state that again. I have given Christ countless reasons not to love me. None of them has changed his mind. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Let me read to you this passage here. John 19, 25 through 27. Jesus is hanging on the cross, and it states this. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved, we know that's John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. And the depth of what speaks to me there about the depth of Jesus' love is this. Jesus is hanging on that cross, unjustified, hanging on that cross. Have you ever had injustice happen to you? How do you enjoy that, right? That's a button for me. When injustice happens to me, and it seems to be a regular occurrence, you know, I didn't stop to look. Do I have a target painted on my back? And maybe that's what's going on here. And injustice, that's a button. And every time it happens, I have to go, okay, I have to work through it. I have to work through it. Lord, help me not to react. Help me to submit to how you want me to happen. Jesus is hanging on that cross unjustly. He did not deserve to die. He was an innocent man. And also the weight of all of our sins, the sins of the entire world, past sins of the entire world, current sins of the entire world, and future sins of the entire world, all of that filth, all of that disgust is hanging on Jesus. Jesus, let me remind you this, the holy God. And in his love for us, he allows that filth to be set upon him. He's hanging there on that Christ, on that cross. Jesus Christ is dying a gruesome, miserable, awful death. Extreme pain, suffocation, all of that combined. And why? Amazing love. Amazing love. He didn't have to do that. You know, you think through, we hear it so often, it's like it becomes, I don't want to say numb, but it kind of becomes part of our wallpaper. Do we appreciate the depth of love that Jesus has for us? He did that for you. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he was thinking of each one of you. I mentioned last time that even before the creation of the world, Jesus was thinking of you. Ephesians 1:4, it's just a hard drive. So, you know, I'm almost 65. I'm signing up for Medicare. In 2 weeks, I'm on the rolls. How did that happen? Right? I mean, when you look at me, do you see a geriatric? Don't answer that question. Okay. Yeah, when you look at me and go, oh man, Rob, what is he, 90? Well, I feel like 90 sometimes. And I totally forgot where I'm going with that. But anyway, Jesus hanging on that cross. So here is Jesus suffering unimaginable torture. And yet Jesus knew too, part of the torture coming up is that his heavenly father was going to forsake Jesus, because of all that filth sitting on Jesus' shoulders, the sin. And in the midst of all of this, he loves his mommy. And he cares for his mommy. He provides for his mommy, Mary. Mary, who is a widow. Her husband Joseph died, Bible doesn't tell us when, but she's a widow. Should she be concerned about her life? Yeah, it's the job, it's the responsibility of the eldest son to make sure the mother is taken care of. So here's Jesus bearing the sins of the globe on his shoulders and the total miseries thereof. A perfect, sinless, holy God experiencing the grotesqueness of all that sin. And he looks at his sweet little mom, who is heartbroken. She knows why he's there, but still that's her little boy hanging on the cross. And he loves her. He goes, Mom, John. And Mary then lived with John for the rest of her life. Amazing love. I mean, when you're in pain, isn't pain like so self-oriented? And rightfully so. You know, we're in pain, right? Oh man, I'm in anguish. Physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual, all the different pains out there. Mental pains, etc. Let me read to you. This is still my introduction here. So, you know I love you guys, right? Is that obvious? Is that obvious? At that point, so one of you should say, what's not to love? Okay? I say that to my wife frequently. Really, husbands, I'm mentoring you. The wives love it when you do that. I honestly do this. Cindy will say, Rob, I just got to say I love you. And I go, what's not to love? Okay, it usually costs me a dozen roses and a dinner out afterwards. But I actually really do that. To me, I love to, and I've told, I love to tease. If you hang around me much, I'll get you. Okay, just be prepared. For my devotions, what I've been doing right now is, let's see, it's the Blackaby Brothers. And they put together, it's somewhat similar to a, what's that famous devotional? Daily Bread. It's very similar in that sense. You know, you have your each day devotions in this thing. And in my opinion, for me, it's been really ministering to me. It seems to be a little bit more depth. So Henry Blackaby, and I forget the brother's name. Experiencing God, I think it's Experiencing God, and so that's what I've been using. So in there, I came across this. September, this is for September. I don't pay attention to the days. You know, I'll open it up and go, yeah, I need a little dose of this one. This one will, and do that. So, and I love this. The verse is this, 1 John 4:16, and he entitles this Believing God's Love. And that could be an excellent second title for my sermon today, Believing God's Love. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God cares for you? Do you believe that God is in the process of shepherding and caring for you as his sheep? What about even when terrible things happen? What about even when terrible things happen? Yes, God is still, God is there. He's walking with us. He's heartbroken for us too as we go through that. Ever have any doubts in your Christian faith? Oh man. You know, you might as well call me Thomas, the disciple, you know, doubting Thomas. Man, I smile every time I read about doubting Thomas. It's like, dude, you and I must be related. Okay, you and I must be related. Let's see, Thomas, he would have been I'm assuming he's Jewish. Has anybody ever done that, what is that DNA, what's that called? Ancestry.com. Have you ever done that? Isn't that a hoot? Isn't that a hoot? For a Christmas present, because I love my wife so much, for a Christmas present a year ago, I says, hon, let's do the DNA thing. And I won't confess to you what my wife's DNA is. It's cold enough, it's January, it's cold enough outside. I don't need the inside of my house to be just as cold. So anyway, but feel free to ask my wife. She's shaking her head back there. I might need somebody have a spare room. I might need some place to stay tonight. But totally fascinating. You send that in, and all of a sudden they tell you what your who you are genetically, and then it'll give you all sorts of people that you're related to all over the globe. It's totally fun. Some of them will be your own relatives that have done it too. Your own close. My sister showed up. I've had a second cousin show up. A couple of second cousins, etc., etc., etc. And man, I totally forgot where I was going with this. Oh, the Blackaby. Okay, I'm Viking, okay? That's why I love to plunder and pillage. So don't blame me if I plunder and pillage your place. It's just in my blood. Okay, so don't judge me. Just go, oh, that's Rob's heritage. So I had a point to that. I apologize. So back to Blackaby's here. So anyway, believing God's love. Yeah, 1 John 4:16. I love this verse. And he goes on, Blackaby goes on. Let me read the verse to you. And we have come, we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. We have come to know. In other words, it's possible not to know. It's possible to have some kind of short version, some type of less than the fullness of this knowledge that Christ intends for us. says, but we have come to know. So I've asked myself this question, have I come to know this? And, you know, I've been a Christian 50 years. I've been a missionary 40 years. I've preached a gazillion sermons. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve any of that. And I still go to the Lord and I say, Heavenly Father, I pray this. It's not uncommon I pray this. I say, Heavenly Father, would you please give me a large dose? And I'll say this too. Lord, can you give me the cup runneth over dosage of knowing that you love me? And the Lord's been growing me on that. I encourage each one of you to do that too. James 4:2, I've quoted this many times. I'll probably quote this 100,000 times before I die. States this, you have not because you do not ask God. Do you realize this? That the knowing, understanding, the knowledge of God's love for you is enormously impactful. That's where the joy is at. That's where you know that you're accepted by Jesus. And I go, Heavenly Father, give me this. And I pray that often. Lord, I want more. I want more. You know, that's what heaven is more of Jesus. The verse again states this. And we have come to know, right? And that would be, I wanted to look at this. You know, there's different Greek forms of the word. The word to know is most likely the Greek word gnosko. There's different forms of that. I'm assuming this is epigenosko, where it's experiential knowledge. Hey, well, you know, I've tasted this. I've tasted this. Twice in Scripture it says this, once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Oh, don't you love that verse? Is the Lord good? Yes. So any time out there that we get this mindset that the Lord's not good, guess what? And I've done that. It's like, oh, Lord, why? Why have you allowed this into my life? Anybody had that experience? Heavenly Father, your word says this, Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Oh boy, here's a good one, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wow. All? Verses go on. Lean not on your own understanding. Oh, it's so easy to lean on our own understanding, isn't it? Where we go, we get the yeah buts, right? Lord, I'm trying to trust you. Yeah, but there's this. Yeah, but there's that. Yeah, but this happened to me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. You remember an enormous portion of the Christian walk is this, is to trust Jesus. And that's part of why he's so lovable. So in other words, what Scripture is saying is God is trustable. He's trustable, trustable, trustable. Remember the old hymn, I'm tone deaf, this is not going to bring anybody any joy other than Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Another reason why he puts up with my tone deafness. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Trust. Now, this is not a scolding sermon. Jesus is our shepherd. This would be a great sermon series. He's our chief shepherd, good shepherd, and there's another one that slips my mind right now. So this is not shaming. Jesus is not shaming us. Do you ever lack in trusting Jesus? Oh, yeah. Right? Then James 4:2, that thing. You know, we have not because we do not ask God. Heavenly Father, I'm a little short on trust. Heavenly Father, this stinking thing, experience, trial happen to my life. Jesus is so cool. He's so patient. He's so loving. Oh, he's so lovable. They'll go, okay, I know you're struggling. What about doubting Thomas? Remember Thomas was saying after the death of Jesus, unless I put my hands in the holes and in his side, Thomas is having a struggle. Is he doubting God's sovereignty? Oh man, he's scratching his head, right? Oh, really? And then Jesus shows up. And you remember how Jesus handled it? Did he pull Thomas aside and said, okay, Thomas, I love you. Oh man, have you ever had your parents say this? When you get a spanking, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Have you ever doubted your parents? I'm the one with my rear end on fire, and I got tears down my face. No, Jesus doesn't pistol whip us with the Bible. What Jesus did with Thomas, and this is another reason why Jesus is so amazing, lovable. He just ministered to Thomas where Thomas was at. Thomas, you're suffering. I don't want you to suffer. Thomas, come here. Thomas, put you right there. Thomas, so Jesus, as a phenomenally sweet, wonderful shepherd, ministered to sweet Thomas. And that's not just for Thomas. That's for every one of us. Are you hurting? Are you bleeding out? Do you have doubts? Congratulations. You're just like the rest of us. You're just like all of us. James 4:2, that baby. You have not because you do not ask God. So let me read that verse. I didn't get all the way through it. And we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. An excellent definition for the biblical term of love. So if you were to look and do the homework and go, okay, in the Bible, Jesus says, for God so loved, right? What is love? How do we flesh that out? What does it mean? Love means this. Somebody once wrote, and I love this, an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. Unconditional commitment to an imperfect person. Are you and I perfect? No. But guess what? Jesus' love is so amazing that he knows everything about you. And guess what? He still is committed to love you. Amazing love. Amazing love. Let me read the last of this to summarize this. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? Are you like I am, that you realize like, oh man, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You're so cool, Jesus, that Jesus, I want more of you, that I want more of you. You know, for instance, when you guys serve Jesus, here comes the Jesus bumps. When you guys do something for Jesus, then after you do that, or maybe even during when you're doing that, do you sense this? Do you sense God's pleasure in you? I love that. I love that. And that's intended for every one of us. It's intended. I've had the privilege, and thank you, Jesus. He's lovable that way, to experience that thousands and tens of thousands of times. After I'm done here preaching today, as I'm heading home or later, Watching football? Praise the Lord. Yeah, right? Playoffs. And I'll be in a contemplative mode. That those spiritual ears, you know? And I'll go, okay, Lord. And then I'll sense God's pleasure. It's like Rob, you preached your guts out, Rob. You don't feel well, I'm not contagious, okay? It's just, I'm a geriatric, okay? And in 10 days, I sign up for Medicare, okay? So, see how I brought that around? Yeah, the first of the sermon, and I brought it back around. Aren't you impressed? Right, don't be. So let me read this. I want more of Jesus. I want more. I've tasted Jesus. Jesus is good. It's like, I want more. I want more. And I'm not being a brat. I'm just entranced. It's probably not the best word. Compelled. Because Jesus is just that lovable. Give me more, Jesus. And that's what heaven's going to be. Just part of what heaven's going to be. Anybody looking forward to that? Right. I don't know if I said this before, but in recent experiences, it's kind of been in my face since I signed up for Medicare. So I expect a little more laughter in that one. I worked really hard on that one. Okay, so summarize. The greatest truth in all of Scripture is, and this is back to Blackaby's, the greatest truth in all of Scripture is this: God is love. Period. We might have doubts. Hey, join the human. You're part of the human race. The greatest truth in all of Scripture is this: God is love. Here's the application. This is so good. Please hear. I am begging you. Understanding this in its full dimensions will set you free to enjoy all that is yours as a Christian. Oh, did you hear that? I'll repeat that. Understanding that God is love in its full dimensions will set you free to enjoy all that is yours as a Christian. But you must accept that God loves you. You must. Is it no wonder why Satan loves to attack that, doesn't he? You know, it's the yeah buts again. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. Yeah, but this. Explain this. How can a loving God allow this to happen? Yeah, but. You must accept that God loves you. And again, Jesus is not pistol whipping you. He's saying to you this: if you lack in this area, do what? James 4:2, that baby. You have not because you do not ask God. One of the things I've learned in my 50 plus years as a Christian is that I keep learning it deeper and deeper and deeper, we're so dependent on God. We're so dependent on God. Times 1,000. We don't even realize how much. So again, it states here, but you must accept that God loves you. You've got to accept that. You might say this, but way back when I was in my 20s, I did some real bad things. Does that negate God's love for you? No. Okay? No. This is good too. Still on the summary here. If you grew up experiencing unconditional love in your family, this may not be difficult for you, accepting God's love. However, if your early years were void of love, this truth may be hard to accept. God loves you, not because you deserve his love, but because he is love. His nature is love. I love this statement here too. This impacted me. The only way Jesus will ever relate to you is in love. Do you believe that? I mean, that's like, okay, Lord, help me. I heard it. You are love. Lord, help me get it here, Lord. His love for you gives you an inherent worth that nothing can diminish. The creator of the globe, the entire cosmos, he loves little bitty you. If you cannot accept the truth that God loves you, you will be limited to how you can relate to him. When he disciplines you, you will not take it as an expression of his love. Rather, you may resent God. When God says no to a request that is less than his best for you, you will conclude that he doesn't care about you. Without a clear understanding and acceptance of God's love for you, you will be disoriented to him and to what he wants to do in your life. If you will accept God's love, however, you will be able to return love to God and to others as well. Here's the question. Are you experiencing the profound sense of joy and security? Anybody? Don't raise your hand. Wait, if you want to. Everybody ever been insecure in your life? Man. I'm pretty sure if you Wikipedia that, insecurity, it'd be my picture that pops up. Hopefully snazzy wearing his cool tie. Are you experiencing the profound sense of joy and security that comes from knowing that you are dearly loved by God? And at this moment, I would not be surprised if on your shoulder, Satan, that filthy beast, is going, don't believe this, because that's like Satan. Yeah. Being assured of God's love for you sets you free to enjoy the numerous expressions of love he showers on you each day. If you want to, here's a great prayer request. Heavenly Father, and I've done this. Heavenly Father, could you please show me how you love me on a day in and day out basis? James 4:2. He'll be doing this. Hey. I did this. I did that. Oh, look what I showed you in my word. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Jesus loves you more than we know. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. Lord, I beg you, please burn this deep into our minds and into our hearts, Lord. And just keep us growing more in this, Lord. Just each day, just growing more, going, oh, Jesus, you're so amazing. You're so cool. You love me so much. Lord, would you do that for my dear friends here and for my family as well, Lord? And Heavenly Father, I pray for this. Lord, if there's somebody here that has not yet trusted your son Jesus to be their savior, and that they would like to, that Lord, in the quietness of their heart right now, that they would pray this prayer to you, Lord, in the quietness of their heart, pray this: Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, you died for me. You were buried in the grave for me. Then you rose from the dead for me. Jesus, you are the Savior. Jesus, save me and give me eternal life. Save me, Jesus. Pray for this in your son's sweet name. Amen. Thank you, dear ones.
I didn't know Rob was going to be here today to speak on this subject of God's love. But I love how God works all things out. As we've got a love song to the Lord, a song about God's love for us and our love in response to him. Let's stand and worship the Lord together as we sing of our wonderful, merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Yes, you are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Lord Jesus, we love you. In that same passage in 1 John 4, it says that we love because you first loved us. And we just are so grateful, so thankful, Lord, that you loved us. Even while we were still sinners, you demonstrated your love for us by dying for us on the cross. Help us, Lord, to leave today knowing, believing, as Rob challenged us, believing in our hearts that you love us more deeply than we can ever ask or imagine. Thank you, Lord, for your encouraging words this morning. Thank you for our time of fellowship. May you be honored by our time together today. It's in Jesus' name we ask.